Praise God. You know, God is absolutely doing something in this body. There's a shifting. I think, who said that word? Was it you, Lisa? Repositioning, have that word? And I think that's taking place. And if you feel like you're being fought like a boat going in wind, and feel like you're probably one of the ones that needs to be repositioned in further in Him, because you're being fought. Make sense? I know that He's got some great things for us to do, and He's really changing some things in a good way, and we're excited about that. At 5 o'clock this morning, I woke up and changed my message. Don't you love when God does that? Had it all done, and it was a good one. I'm like, God, I'll be able to preach that sometime, I hope. But He said, I really want you to preach on this. Drinking from an angry well. Goes with that whole rage thing that we were talking about. What well are you drinking from? I mean, we all need to drink. We've got two little dogs, and they have one little bowl. And when they're thirsty, they drink. And if I'm not astute enough to be in tune with their water bowl, it'll go dry. Because Ed's a flight attendant, so he's gone a lot of times. And I'm like, I need to be the one to pour that water. Of course, it's bottled water. Pour the water into the bowl. All the guys are like, yeah, I got it. Dina, I'll just tell you something. She's a white dog, and I read this, that you know how they get the black eyes? It's because of the chemical, the minerals. Yeah, that's in regular water, and white dogs' eyes stain from that. I don't know if it's purified or spring, but hey. So anyway, so I have to fill that bowl. God has a bowl for us that never runs dry. Yet we look at other places to get our filling and to get our thirst quenched. So my question is, what well are you looking to? Anger is a powerful emotion. Agree? It's probably one of the most powerful emotions that we can have. Now, anger is not always you're screaming and ranting and raving when you're angry. She's not here, but Kathy Barrow, have you ever heard Kathy get mad? She tells you like it is. I love that about it. I always know where you stand with somebody like that. The hard one is the one that does the silent treatment. Ever meet those? I don't want. If I'm mad at you, you probably won't hear from me. Because I'm afraid if I really say what I feel, it's going to come out really, really bad. So sometimes, anybody like me? And something like, I'm just going to not say anything right now. But it's still not right because there's something, you could cut the tension with a knife. You know what I'm saying? So anger is a powerful thing. There's a scripture that says, be angry and sin not. So anger is not a sin. It's what we do with that anger that's a sin. When I see injustice, I get angry. When I see things going on in the country, I get angry. But what am I doing with that anger is the key. See, I cannot see all of those things take place and allow it to fill my spirit from that well of anger. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to pray. I can march. I can do all these things. But I can't get angry at people. That's the difference. We don't war against people. We war against flesh and blood, the Bible says, and the principalities of the air and spirit. It is a spiritual battle, but that battle has to be won by God. So what do I do with that anger? I have to figure out a way to get that out in prayer. Now that's hard, because that really is where the rubber meets the road. It really is where I have to get out of me and into God and say, even as mad as I am, God, show them the truth. I mean, He has so much mercy on me. So many in this church, God, folks, I used to teach that it was a sin to be gay and you were going to hell. I used to teach that and preach that. So I know where they're coming from when they say that. And so God changed me to really get in touch with who I am and learn the scriptures and look at the scriptures, I didn't understand that. So I can't get mad at people. I get mad at what they're saying, yes, because it's a lie and it's not truth. But I can't get angry at people, because what happens is I begin to say things like this. This is anger. This is my well, poison. Oh, look at what they're doing to everybody. I can't believe what they're saying about that. Keeping the immigrants out. And every time I start doing this, I'm drinking poison. Instead of saying, God, open their eyes to what they're teaching. Show them how wrong it is. Show them that, God, everyone needs to be welcome. Those are the things we need to address, not the anger part, because it poisons us. So what well are you drinking from? Proverbs says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered and undisciplined man commits many transgressions. So when I get angry, I have the ability to stir up strife. It happens. Sometimes when I'm angry in a bad mood, I don't even know why I'm mad. Anybody like me? Everybody want to admit it? And sometimes I say, God, what is this causing me to feel this frustration? Because I don't want it to come out. I mean, I might have a counseling session. I kind of do like when God schedules counseling sessions. You guys schedule them with me, or Jane will help me schedule, but it's always when I'm going through something really hard that I get a really hard counseling session. It's an amazing thing. And that teaches me that, I can't do it in my own strength. So it forces me to really seek God before I go into a meeting. Anybody know who Zachary is? A few people. When we first started this church, he's in Germany now. I love Zachary. We used to say you could talk a demon to death. It's constant, and just about everything. He's talk. So I was in this counseling session 2 hours with him, talking, going. And I was getting tired. He wasn't. He kept, analyzing this, and what are my parents this, and all of a sudden I said, let's just pray. And as we prayed, God just showed me something and him something. He goes, oh, that just answered the question. And I said, I spent 2 hours. And God, in a minute, you gave him the answer. And God says, then you need to make sure that you drink from the right well. So he's the source of our joy. He's the source of our wisdom, and that's really where we need to go when we're angry. Anger is an emotion often characterized by feelings of great displeasure, indignation, hostility, wrath, and vengeance. That's what Webster says when you talk about anger. So there's a lot of things in anger, but their anger is the fruit of rotten roots. You see, you kind of think of anger as this thing, but it really is fruit on a tree, and there's roots that are feeding this tree that produces anger. So that's really what I wanted to address, some of these roots, injustice going on right now. I mean, does it make you mad? It makes me mad. Both sides make me mad, quite honestly. I'm like, okay, I would like to go on Facebook and at least see somebody's dog. Please post your dog, Nevaeh, heaven spelled backwards, I remember. Post your dog or something nice. It's poison over and over again. Both sides. It's poison. And what does it do? It divides. It doesn't help. It doesn't mean you have to give up your political views. We, believe it or not, in this church we have different views, which is healthy. It's healthy because sometimes I might be wrong. It's hard to believe it, but sometimes I may not have the right answer. And when I hear someone else's perspective, it changes me. It's not a bad thing, but how we deal with that anger is the key. Injustice, impatience. Now, I can be very patient. I really am patient, except when I'm driving. For some reason, that is the time I get very impatient. I don't know anybody else is like that. I'm really a patient patient. Man, when I get on the road, it's like something takes me over. I'm like, oh, get out of my way. Clarkston, Georgia, where we live, there's more immigrants actually in that city than any other city in the country. Great. However, they don't know how to drive in Atlanta. So they have come from Africa. Most of them are from Ethiopia, Somalia. They're there. And every time I come to my driveway, guess who gets in front of Pastor Keith? I mean, it is every time. I'm like, God, you are funny. You know what I need. My prayer would be, don't ever let it happen again. He's like, oh, yeah. So now I laugh. Instead of, oh, I just start laughing. I'm like, you can take all day, honey. You can stop at that yield sign like it's a stop sign, and it won't bother me anymore. And you can wait there for 5 minutes when there's nothing around you. And still, I'm going to say, God, you're working this in me. It's a root of anger. But once you understand the root, you can address that root, and the fruit will not produce. Abuse. Some of us have been physically abused, sexually abused, emotionally and verbally abused. Those are hard ones because those things have happened to you physically, emotionally, sexually, and verbal. And words can hurt just as much as anything else. Whenever someone might come to you as a friend and or a confidant and say, this is what's really going on, please guard that for them. Because sometimes what happens is when you get mad at that person, you use that stuff against them. And then you feel really bad after, but you can't take words back or those things. So those are things that can cause this anger. Unmet needs. Now, quiet. This is one of those that is probably the one to me that is not obvious because most of us don't say you're not meeting my needs, but it comes out in relationships. Now we've been together how long? 18 years. We think 18 where we're like, we kind of go back and forth to 17 or 18. So believe it or not, there were times when we feel like we're not meeting each other's needs. I know. I haven't told you this, but now's the time. And sometimes it's expectations will get me into trouble because I have this expectation in my head of what he thinks I should be getting from him. Oh, ouch, God. Don't you hate when he steps on your toes when you're preaching? I am not a big fan of that. So step on their toes. Leave these alone right now. I'm busy. But you have this expectation about what your needs are, but does that person even know what that expectation is? Or do you just have it in your head? You're supposed to be doing this for me. And they're not wired that way. I can't read your mind. I would implore all of you who are in relationships to get a book called Love Languages. And read that book, take that test, and find out who you are. Just this week I texted, oh, he's not here, Ryan's gone, but Pastor Jonathan. And I said, what's your love language? He said, words of affirmation first, acts of service second. That's why we get along so well. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's exactly, we have the same language. We speak the same language. What is yours? Quality time and gifts. So we're opposite. So it's a way you communicate. But if I realize what hers is, I understand that me doing all these things all the time doesn't really meet her need. So I really need to say, let's go to lunch and spend some time and just talk. Where other people that would say, no, tell me what a great job I'm doing. Pastor Jonathan. So it's just in any relationships, it's important to really get to that point. I don't know why I'm going in there, but unmet needs is a source of real anger that can take place. Jealousy. Now, this comes up in a lot of different ways. I used to be so jealous when I first got together with Ed. Maybe, right? He's like, hello. Because my ex cheated on me. So what I allowed to happen was I brought all of that baggage from that relationship and put it on top of Ed. And it's like, nope, I don't trust you. Now, he's a flight attendant. Let me tell you, that will change you as far as trust immensely. I had every opportunity. He wasn't when we first met. I don't know if I would have allowed that when we first met, but I allowed it. But it was interesting because every time that that would come up, I would have to really deal with it. And God would say, this is not Ed. You're looking at your ex, not who he is. So jealousy is another one. And then one of the big ones is insecurity. Insecurity can cause anger because when we're insecure, we begin to find faults in other people. You naturally want to build yourself up. People who are insecure usually are the ones who boast the most. It is true. As you really realize you're insecure and when you really kind of get comfortable in your own skin and say, okay, I really am affirmed by God and I don't need the other affirmation, you really don't tend to find the faults in people like you used to find because you feel better about yourself. But insecurity will allow you to tear down others. At the same time, it makes you feel better, but it's a pit. You're drinking poison every time you do it. Now, this is going to be the end of it. The big thing that I wanted to hit was this one. In the Greek, you want to learn Greek today? Okay, you're going to learn Greek. Say scandalon. Now, scandalon is a Greek word, and it's translated as anger a lot of times in the scripture. It's used 73 times. It's also translated as offense. It's the same word. The word scandalon means a trap. You see, the Greek gives you pictures. And so scandalon means a trap. You think about, I don't know if any of you are hunters. Really? Three women in the church raise their hand. Oh, guys, what are we going to do with them? Understand, I've got some family members that are hunters. The ones from Mississippi and the ones from New Orleans are like, oh, no, we're PETA, 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 PETA. So I'll digress. So if you're a hunter, we're used to shooting the deer and those type of things. But a lot of times in the wilderness, they set traps. So when I was in Bible college, now my roommate was gay. We found this out later. It was kind of like, have you ever watched the Dick Van Dyke show, I Love Lucy? Ever notice something about their beds? They're twin beds, right? And there's a nightstand between the two. So that's how it was in Bible college. Probably a good thing. So we have the twin beds and the nightstand, and we're talking one night, about God, whatever, and this mouse crawls up the wall. Now let me tell you, we might look big and strong, but that was a mouse. And we both screamed at the same time. And we moved all of our furniture from our bedroom into the prayer room and slept in there that night. People came in the morning to the prayer room and were like, is this the prayer room? And we're like, I'm sorry, it was a mouse in our room. So we moved all of the beds and everything out there because we weren't sleeping with the mouse in the room. So we got the bright idea, we're going to trap this mouse. So we bought a glue trap. Some of you have done this. My idea, I'm going to trap this mouse. Get rid of that mouse. Take off the label thing. We put the glue trap down, and it worked. And all of a sudden, I could hear him cry. And he couldn't move. Everything he was trying to do was stuck to that trap. His little feet, his little ears, everything. I would never, ever do that again. But that is how scandalon works. You see, it's set, and you don't realize it, and you're lured by offense. Somebody did something to me. Somebody hurt me. Or somebody said something about my friend. It's easier for me, honestly, if you're going to come criticize me, but when one of you come and criticize Pastor Deb, then I get upset. And I take on that offense. It really is not my offense, but I take it on, and then I'm stuck there because after they, I'm fine with her, I still have it. So when you're telling people your offenses, please don't do that. Because what you're doing is you are laying little glue traps around every one of them as they are living their life. Because all of a sudden they're going to step in a glue trap that really wasn't meant for them. It was something that the enemy used you to set. I tell couples all the time, I will never take sides whenever we counsel. There's always two sides to a story, and I've learned that. It's funny because I have sat in meetings with couples before where somebody will come in and tell me how horrible their partner was to them, what they did. But when the partner shows up, it changes a little bit. Always. There's always two sides. At the same time, I understand some things that are done very difficult to get over, and I can get that. Anyway, so scandalon is a trap. So the enemy sets these traps, and he wants to get you stuck so that you cannot go forward with God. That's what we call offense. I'm going to close this. It's like a drug, and Satan makes sure that there are pushers on every corner of our lives. You can get addicted to it. Offense and drama, you can get addicted to having that, and you don't even realize it. Those of you who come from recovery, it's another addiction, these type of things. And it's like drinking from a poisoned well. So I just want to tell you and implore you, pray for discernment. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting upset and angry about things, but don't drink from a poisoned well, because it will kill you spiritually. So, Father, I thank you for your refreshing. I thank you for your renewal. I thank you that you're going forward with us. I pray for wisdom and discernment as each person is moving forward, that you really show them the traps that the enemy has set for them, that you begin to show them in discernment those blocks that the enemy has that's trying to hold them back from going forward. It really is about him stopping you. Sometimes it's not even about that person. I can tell you there are people here who I used to be so angry at about things that I name my best friends. A lot of it's just miscommunication and misunderstanding. But God is still on his throne. If you do need prayer, I will open it up again. I know we had prayer earlier, but if there is offense that you're really struggling with, or you feel like you're in that trap and just need to be unstuck and need to be renewed, we'll pray over you, and then we'll be dismissed.